The Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to a people of Israel, to nations of rebels, who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are also impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, and whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 10. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Mark. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could not do any mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching, and he called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on 2 tunics. And he said to them, Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that's on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace is ours this day because of Jesus. You may be seated. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God has called each and every one of us into this family of faith called Christ the Vine. And he's entrusted to us a unique and wonderful ministry here in this place. God is indeed present here among us. And he's indeed doing his work here through us. What an incredible blessing that is for us. And yet, if we're really honest with ourselves, sometimes we find ourselves asking questions born out of fear. A fear all too often rooted in our feelings of inadequacy. Are we really able? Are we really capable of doing this holy work together? Surely our sinfulness will keep us from doing this work well, so maybe we shouldn't try all that hard at all. After all, we're just average folk. We're not from Lake Wobegon where all the children are above average. We're just average folk. So how can anybody expect us to do this ministry stuff well? Can it really be true that Jesus brought us together as this family of faith called Christ the Vine to be part of his saving work here in this place? Really? Just average us? Maybe he's not so wise and omniscient after all. Does he really mean to use us? Just average us. Jesus, you really want us to make a difference in the life of those around us? Us? Just average us? Our readings today include Ezekiel's call into ministry, Paul's call into ministry, and Jesus sending the 12 into ministry. All three of these readings, but especially our gospel reading this morning, in Mark, speak to our feeling of inadequacy, our fear of inadequacy. But beloved, the message we hear from all three of our readings this morning is not the pep talk we might expect. God isn't telling us that we're better than we think we are and we can do whatever we put our mind to. God speaks to us far more realistically than that this morning. God's kingdom works as much through our weaknesses and failure as it does through our strengths and success. God is strange that way. Even Jesus had a bad day when in John chapter 6, his words actually drive people away, and he wonders if even his 12 disciples will still want to follow him. So let's dig deeper into our three readings for today. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 2. Can you hear the similarities between our Old Testament reading today and our Old Testament readings from the past few weeks? Two Sundays ago, God spoke to Job out of a whirlwind of a storm, commanding him to stand up on his feet and brace himself like a man. Last Sunday, Jeremiah felt helpless and hopeless before a God who seemed so hostile to him. And today, God's call into ministry leads us to ponder our own frailty before an almighty God. Ezekiel's from one of the priestly families in Jerusalem, so he's one of the very first to be taken into captivity and carried off into Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar in his first wave of exiles left most of the people in Judah. In this first wave of exiles, he takes only the leaders. He hopes that by taking the leaders into exile in Babylon, then everyone else left behind in Judah will just be so discouraged that they won't rebel any further. But it doesn't work. Within a decade, the puppet king Zedekiah stops paying his taxes to Babylon. Not a very good idea. So Nebuchadnezzar's armies once more lay siege to Jerusalem. This time Jerusalem is totally destroyed. The destruction is far more brutal, and far, far more people are carried off into captivity in Babylon. God calls Ezekiel into ministry sometime in this decade between the leaders, including himself, being carried off to Babylon and the second invasion that destroys Jerusalem. At the time of our Old Testament reading this morning, Jerusalem is still standing. But this situation is very uncertain and very unsettled. Many of the leaders currently exiled in Babylon hope their captivity will be short, that Nebuchadnezzar will change his mind and just send them back home. Rumors abound. And much of Ezekiel's earlier ministry is the impossible task, miserable task, of squashing all of these rumors of a quick return home as simply not true. But then after Jerusalem is destroyed, God uses Ezekiel as a prophet speaking hope into the lives of his people who've lost all hope. Remember the reading about the Valley of Dry Bones on Pentecost Sunday? Like Job in our Old Testament reading 2 weeks ago, God speaks with Ezekiel, this time not to challenge a court case being brought against him as in Job, but because God loves his people and he's got a job for Ezekiel to do. Our Old Testament reading this morning is just part of Ezekiel's call into ministry. If you want to read something really, really interesting and really, really strange, read the rest of Ezekiel's call, the earlier part of his call in chapter 1. In chapter 1, Ezekiel sees huge chariots and huge wheels flying through the air and beasts with all kinds of faces and all kinds of other stuff. Whoever chose our reading for today chose to lift these 5 verses of chapter 2 out of the whole story of Ezekiel's call because, frankly, these verses are just so much easier for us to deal with as 21st century believers. And yet, without the fantastical elements from chapter 1, I think we miss something very important about Ezekiel's call and Ezekiel's ministry. God's people have had all of their hopes destroyed. There's nothing left but despair and fear. So Ezekiel sees this strange vision of chariots and wheels and beasts to awaken in God's people a sense of imagination that can then in turn reawaken their hope because they can now imagine with their praying imaginations what God is really saying to them. Sometimes, beloved, I think we've lost our praying imaginations too. That ability to close our eyes and open our hearts to what God is really saying to us and doing for us to restore our hope. If God's people here in Ezekiel can see with their praying imaginations these chariots and wheels and beasts, then certainly they can also see God rescuing them from Babylon. And if we can see with our praying imaginations these chariots and wheels and beasts, then we can also certainly see the miracle of the cross and empty tomb working our rescue from sin, death, and Satan. Our Old Testament reading this morning begins with God giving Ezekiel a command: stand up on your feet, and I'll speak with you. Ezekiel, you see, has fallen to his knees in fear and awe. His legs are jelly. He's unable to stand up on his own. He's in the presence of God Almighty. But then the Spirit of God enters Ezekiel and empowers him to stand up on his feet. Remember, we said all 3 of our readings this morning address our fear of inadequacy. Here, Ezekiel is inadequate. He's incapable of standing up before God on his own, right? He's physically incapable and he's spiritually incapable. But God's Spirit gives him the heart and the strength to stand. Ezekiel stands before God and God speaks to him. So, beloved, God's first answer to our fear of inadequacy is to make us capable, to give us the ability to stand up on our feet, to hear what he speaks to us. Notice, too, God is completely honest and blunt with Ezekiel. His ministry will not be easy at all. He's being sent to a rebellious nation, a people who do not want to hear what God has to say to them. Beloved, God doesn't send Ezekiel into ministry with very much encouragement at all. And there's no guarantee of success. But God sends him anyway. Why? Because Ezekiel's ministry is a desperate plea from a loving God to his beloved people, calling them to repent and believe. Ezekiel's ministry is in so many ways over the top. He does a lot of strange things. He does everything imaginable to communicate God's love for his people. So, for example, he shaves his head and then scatters his hair as an illustration of God's people scattered abroad. He lies on his side for over a year and then suddenly flips to the other side as an illustration of much-needed repentance. When his wife dies, the love of his life, he sheds no tears and foregoes all mourning to make his point. From this day of his call forward, Ezekiel's whole life becomes the message of God's love for his people. And ultimately, it works. The leaders of God's people finally begin to listen to him. At long last, they see him as God's prophet. But it takes a long, long time. Ezekiel's ministry isn't easy at all. So here's the other thing God's saying to us today about our fear of inadequacy when it comes to our ministry together here at Christ the Vine. God doesn't blame us for the failure of others to believe in Jesus. He knows our ministry together isn't always easy. He knows failure sometimes happens more often than success. But he sends us into ministry anyway. And he'll sort it all out in the end. So just like Ezekiel, we answer God's call into ministry together because he fills us with his Spirit and stands us up on our feet, because he speaks to us and empowers us as his people, giving us ears to hear and mouths to speak. And that, my beloved, brings us to our epistle reading this morning in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Here we have Paul speaking to us this morning about his own call into ministry. In the ancient world, it was frowned upon to use the first person, I or me, too frequently. So when Paul says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was taken up to the third heaven, he's really talking about himself. Specifically, he's talking about his conversion experience on the road to Damascus and his call into ministry. So what does Paul mean when he says he was taken up to the third heaven? Well, the ancients understood the blue sky above us as the first heaven. And then they understood when they looked at the night sky that the stars were much, much further away. So that was the second heaven. And then finally, the third heaven was where God is. So Paul's simply telling us that on the road to Damascus, he was brought into the very presence of God, just like Ezekiel in our Old Testament reading this morning. But notice, beloved, what Paul says here. He's taken into the very presence of God. But then he really doesn't talk about that experience at all. And he certainly doesn't boast about that experience at all. Instead, he talks about his weakness. In particular, he talks about his thorn in the flesh. Three times Paul pleaded with the Lord, but the Lord refused to take it away. Instead, the Lord says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." We don't really know what this thorn in the flesh was for Paul. It may have been poor eyesight. On one occasion, Paul talks about writing his words in large letters. Or it may have been malaria or epilepsy or something like that. Or it may have been the constant opposition to his ministry. We just don't know. And that's okay, because the really important thing isn't the nature of this thorn in the flesh, but God's answer about this thorn in the flesh. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God's grace is more powerful than his thorn in the flesh. God's grace will always, always prevail in our lives. So once more, we hear God speak to our fear of inadequacy. He pours his grace into our lives. His strength is made evident in our lives, not in our strength, but in our weakness. What seems like failure in our eyes, a humble carpenter beaten bloody, carrying a cross up a hill to die, is in actuality just the opposite. This seeming failure, Jesus nailed to a cross, is exactly the way God chooses to succeed. It is finished. The cross in reality leads to the empty tomb. Sin, death, and Satan are vanquished. Beloved, in the very same way, the seeds we sow in our ministry together must die before they can bear fruit. God's kingdom is often most at work in the midst of rot and decay. Good soil, fertile soil, always is full of dead and rotting things. That's exactly where and how God works. Our vulnerability makes us approachable. Our weaknesses, even our sins, make us regular people, just average folk. We're here as individuals and as a family of faith, all by the grace of God, so God gets all the glory. Paul's the perfect example of this. The persecutor and murderer of God's people becomes the proclaimer of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. Paul sees his past, rotten as it was, as a key part of his preaching. The way God transformed Paul's life, the way God made all things new in his life, is exactly the same way God works in your life and mine. And that, my beloved, brings us at last to our gospel reading this morning in Mark chapter 6. Our gospel reading this morning begins with failure. Jesus' failure. Jesus is back in his hometown of Nazareth and he's teaching in the synagogue. But those gathered in the synagogue that day are astonished, literally dumbfounded. The word Mark uses here in Greek is a very strong one. They're not just perplexed by Jesus. They're offended and scandalized by Jesus. They're angry and upset with Jesus. Who does he think he is? He's just our hometown boy, a blue-collar carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon, and his sisters are right here among us. There's no way in the world this hometown boy of ours can be so theologically wise or capable of doing great things. All of the stories must just be lies. In fact, Mark tells us because they're so dumbfounded and scandalized, Jesus couldn't do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And Mark goes on to say that Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. Their rejection perplexes him. So what does Jesus do in the midst of this failure to get through to the people of his own hometown? He calls his disciples together and then sends them out into the surrounding villages. Why don't you guys give it a try? Really? Jesus, you weren't very successful here. What makes you think we're going to be any more successful? And yet, they are. They herald the good news. They call people to repentance. They cast out demons and they heal the sick. Beloved, do we let our fear of inadequacy, our fear of failure, keep us from growing our ministry together? To be sure, there's no guarantee of success, but that's okay. Ministry isn't always successful, at least not by human standards. Ah, but sometimes it is. Ezekiel's called into ministry. Paul's called into ministry. The 12 disciples are called into ministry and sent out to proclaim the good news of Jesus in words and actions. And beloved, so are we. God didn't send Ezekiel to his people expecting his ministry always to be successful. Often it wasn't. Oh, but sometimes it was. And God didn't send Paul out into his ministry, expecting that ministry always to be successful. Often it wasn't. Oh, but sometimes it was. And God didn't send the 12 out into ministry, expecting their ministry always to be successful. Often it wasn't. But sometimes it was. And so it is for us, beloved. God doesn't send us out into ministry here in this place expecting us always to be successful. Often our ministry isn't, but sometimes it is. Our calling as a people of God called Christ Divine is to proclaim the good news of Jesus in words and actions, not necessarily always to succeed in the conversion game. Conversions are God's business, not ours. But the truth remains, God doesn't call us to just stay here in this sanctuary, as beautiful and wonderful as it is, especially now that the white cloths are down and there's no limit on how many people can be in this place. This is a wonderful place to be, but this is not where God wants us to stay. No, God sends us out into the community around us, to that mobile home park, to share the love of Jesus in both words and actions. So there's no need for us to be afraid of our inadequacy. God's grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Yes, beloved, we're sent to share the good news. That's our calling as God's people in this place.